You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk on our go.
Last Saturday, over 2,000 protests took place across all 50 American states against President Donald Trump. Several million people turned out. The protests coincided with Trump's birthday and the 250th anniversary of the US Army, and they served as a direct response to the military parade in Washington, D.C. The organizers of the protests say they aim to reject authoritarianism, billionaire-first politics, and the militarization of our democracy. Trump initially said people protesting the parade would face very big force. However, the White House made an attempt to clarify that he was fine with peaceful protest. I spoke to Jeremy Pressman, professor of political science at the University of Connecticut, about the protests and the backlash towards them from the Trump administration. I started by asking what the protests were about and who organized them.
The No Kings protests were focused on fighting against authoritarianism in the United States. Or you might say that differently. They were focused on protecting the democratic aspects of American government and society. That was kind of the overarching connection, and thus the idea of no kings. But you also saw people bring to the protests a whole range of other issues that are going on right now about government budget cuts, about immigration, about the use of the military, the U.S. military in a domestic setting, etc. So as an overarching issue, it was about authoritarianism, but I think it also, people brought a lot of other issues to the table. The groups that were involved varied a bit based on which location we're talking about, but overall, there were several groups that were involved across the country. That includes the group Indivisible, that includes the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and that includes a relatively new movement, which you may have seen, the 50501 or 5051 movement, which just has kind of arisen this year.
How has the Trump administration responded to these protesters?
If we're talking specifically about the protesters on June 14th, the Trump administration has largely ignored them. In other words, as you probably know, on that day, President Trump was sitting reviewing a military parade in Washington, D.C. Prior to that day, the Trump administration and President Trump himself had expressed that if there was any violence by protesters, not really specified where, but if there was any violence by protesters, that he would support a crackdown on the protesters. But there hasn't been much reaction to the protesters, specifically from the U.S. government. I would say Trump supporters, you'll hear criticism of the protests along the lines of, these aren't real protesters, these are paid actors, these people are misguided, they don't understand the great things that President Trump is trying to accomplish. So not a lot of direct response from the government, but if you ask people who are supportive of the Trump administration, you'd hear a range of criticism.
Was there a juxtaposition between what people were protesting for and the protests themselves versus Trump's military parade?
I think it's a great question. I think it's a pretty sharp juxtaposition. On the one hand, in Washington, D.C., you have a parade in the U.S. National Capitol, a military parade. President Trump in the past has expressed admiration for a number of dictators in different countries, including North Korea and Russia. And so in countries that have entrenched dictatorships and the military is a pillar of the dictatorship, it's not uncommon to have major annual parades as a way of supporting the dictatorship. So looking at the parade in Washington, I wouldn't say that it exactly played out that way, but I think it's fair to see it in that light, to understand military parades sometimes as a way for autocracies or dictatorships to kind of flex their muscles and show how much power they have. The parade itself in Washington, as I said, didn't quite play out that way. It didn't have the same feel if you compare it to like looking at a parade in North Korea versus this parade in Washington, D.C. Even if someone were to look at the video and you watch the soldiers marching in Washington, D.C., it just didn't have the same kind of overwhelming numbers and kind of marching synchronicity that you see in some of the parades. And was that intentional or not by the U.S. Army? I have no idea. And then I would contrast that with the protests, which are exactly fighting the militarization of American society. In other words, many protesters worried about the use, let's say in Los Angeles, California, of the president calling in the California National Guard over the objections of the California governor, and then the president sending 700 Marines to Los Angeles. So I think there's a direct and sharp relationship. I think it's really interesting. I've heard after June 14th, one of the national leaders of Indivisible publicly stated that in the immediate aftermath of the U.S. government sending the National Guard and then the Marines to Los Angeles, in that last like week before June 14th, there were 500 additional locations that listed themselves as having protests, No Kings protests on June 14th. And while we don't know this for sure, he was drawing a connection between these many new protests and people being upset about the militarization of the situation in Los Angeles.
Obviously, in the US, the Constitution generally underpins democratic norms. What do Trump's recent actions, including in Los Angeles, mean for these norms?
I don't want to sound alarmist, but I think the United States, in terms of its democratic status, is in big trouble, right? We've seen President Trump in his first term from 2017 to 2021, and now again, is always willing to challenge existing norms, whether those are democratic norms or decision-making norms or norms on a specific issue. He seems to take great delight in upending existing norms. But I would point to a few things specifically that are deeply concerning right now in the United States. One goes back to 2020, and this was the biggest challenge up until his return to the presidency, with President Trump still maintaining that he won the 2020 presidential election when the numbers show that he was defeated. So that's kind of the anchor of all this. But since he's returned to the presidency, there's so many, I can't list them all, but let me give a few examples. There have been many, many U.S. court decisions by federal courts that have rejected the Trump administration's approach to arresting and detaining immigrants without due process, sometimes sending them to other countries. And in a number of cases, the Trump administration has gleefully ignored those rulings by federal courts. So I'd say that's a really important democratic norm that's being challenged, that court rulings must be respected. You can appeal a court ruling, but you can't simply disregard the ruling by the court. And that's one that's the Trump administration has been clearly violating. Second major point of normative concern is a number of arrests of elected officials from the Democratic Party, the opposition party, at least at the federal level right now, the national level in the United States. So we saw the arrest just in the last couple of days of a high-level elected Democrat in New York City by agents of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He was escorting an immigrant, and he was arrested and then released. But the comptroller of New York, who also happens to be a candidate for mayor of New York in the upcoming mayoral election, the shoving and initial detention and handcuffing of one of the U.S. senators from California, Senator Padilla, the arrest of several weeks ago of the Democratic mayor of Newark, a city in New Jersey, not far from New York City. So those are just a few examples. So seeing the arrest of of opposition, political opposition of figures, not for any kind of corruption, but because they're expressing some kind of disagreement or protesting the policies of the current national government. I would connect to that the political violence. There's obviously not, I'm not arguing that there's a direct line between the Trump administration and the assassination and attempted assassination of two state-level political officials from the Democratic Party in the state of Minnesota. One who was killed along with her husband, and one who was injured seriously injured along with his wife. And there's not a direct line. I'm not, you know, but there's an atmosphere of the dehumanization of the other side and the pardoning of those who on January 6, 2021, stormed the U.S. Capitol. And I think it creates an atmosphere in which it makes violence that much more possible. And I think obviously one norm in a democratic society, whether it's spelled out or not in legal terms, is that we use debate and persuasion and voting to settle our differences. We don't use force and violence to do so. So that's another norm. And then the last one, I know I'm giving a long answer, but there's a lot here. The last one I'll highlight is the militarization of domestic society, this introduction of military forces, soldiers and Marines into Los Angeles, allegedly to protect federal buildings, but also indirectly to suppress protest, which is protected by the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, protecting the right to free speech, freedom of expression, and the right of the people to peaceably assemble. So that the fear that militarization, and President Trump posted a message about this in the last few days, suggesting they might do this in other cities that he has a lot of opponents. So that's a long answer, but there's a lot that's going on that's challenging the basic democratic norms in American society.
On everything that you've just said, I just want to finish by asking, how worried do you think the rest of the world should be about Trump's democracy backslide?
Look, I'm biased on that question in the sense that I live here in the United States, right? So obviously, there's many problems in the world, and each country's going to have to decide which of those challenges are going to be their highest priority. So I'm not, in answering your question, I'm not trying to make some case that I can dictate to other countries what they should do. But the United States is obviously a large country, almost 340 million people, with a long-running role, especially since World War II, as a global power. And I guess the analogy I can think of is kind of like if you have a intoxicated driver who's driving their car down Main Street and they're careening all over and endangering the safety of other drivers and pedestrians. That's a little bit the kind of metaphor of what I worry about from the United States, a country internally breaking down, backsliding in terms of democracy, and that could have spill-on effects for other countries in the world. The other thing I would say is leaders are very aware from what I can see that they should be concerned about Trump and how President Trump is handling domestic affairs in the United States. In other cases, the United States and others have been willing to speak out against growing dictatorship in other countries. And at the end of the day, sometimes that has proved helpful, and sometimes it has given comfort to those who are pushing for democracy in some of those very countries. So to the extent that the world that the United States may benefit from other countries doing that now, but instead of looking somewhere else, looking at the United States and expressing concern about these erosion of norms, I can't say it's going to fundamentally change the balance of power here, but it would be a contribution to the conversation here.
That was Jeremy Pressman, Professor of Political Science at the University of Connecticut, on the No Kings protests that took place in the United States on Saturday, as well as the threat the Trump administration poses to democratic norms.
International Desk on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.